Good evening, I'm Paul Edwards in Miami, Florida. Welcome to Tuesday Topics. I'd like to begin by thanking our producer, Brian Charlson, for the stellar job that he's doing at lining up good topics for us to talk about. I'd like to thank Rachel Bader, who is recording this evening. I'd also like to thank Steve Bauer, who turns this chaos into a slick professional ACB radio broadcast. And of course, I'd like to thank George Byes from Talking Communities. Talking Communities is the entity that makes the software we're using tonight, and without the software from Talking Communities, we would not be able to do these programs. Our guest tonight is someone who I've had the pleasure of knowing for, probably 10 or 15 years. In the past, he was in a very different job from the one that he is doing now. His name is Chuck Young, and he is currently the Chief Operating Officer for the Hadley School. And we'll find out much more about the Hadley School as the evening goes on. But perhaps, Chuck, you could start by telling us a little bit about your background in the blindness field and some of the other things you've done prior to becoming the Hadley School guru.
Pleasure, Paul. I graduated from the University of Wisconsin at Stout in vocational rehabilitation, and I went to Oregon and took a job as a shop teacher and a job placement specialist with the Oregon Commission for the Blind, which is the state vocational rehabilitation agency for blind citizens of the state of Oregon. And I was fortunate to become the state agency director in 1980. I spent a few years directing the industries program before I became the state agency director. And I spent 27 years there with the Oregon Commission for the Blind, which I enjoyed a great deal. And I published a lot of articles and did a lot of research in employment outcomes for people with visual impairment and blindness. And that was kind of my forte or my specialty. And after I retired from there, I traveled around the country and did consulting with an organization I created called Career Catalyst Incorporated. And I also worked with the University of Oklahoma and their executive leadership program for people in vocational rehabilitation. And then I was fortunate to become the new president of the Hadley School for the Blind in Winnetka, Illinois.
Now, you actually have not been with Hadley an awfully long time. I know that prior to you, I guess, Mike Bina, a school principal from, well, at least I knew him when he was principal of the school in Indiana, was the guru at Hadley. But you have not been there for an awfully long time, right?
That's correct, Paul. I've been here just about 9 months now, and I think many of the prior presidents came from an educational background, per se, but I came from an adult rehabilitation background, as did perhaps Bob Wynn, who was the president before Mike Bina.
So, the Hadley School. There may be a few people in the world who don't know what the Hadley School is and perhaps don't know much about its history. So why don't we start off by having you tell us just a smidge about where the Hadley School came from, how long it's been around, and a little bit about what it traditionally did. And a little bit later in the program, we'll get into some of the things that it's beginning to do now.
The Hadley School was created by a gentleman by the name of William Hadley, who lost his vision from a congenital condition at the age of 55, that lived here in Winnetka. And he had been a public school teacher. And so after he did some personal training in Braille, he and his ophthalmologist, a gentleman by the name of E.V.L. Brown, got the idea that he might consider teaching other people who had lost their vision Braille. And he started out with a student, a housewife in Kansas, who we call the first desperate housewife, and he sent her Braille lessons that he created through the mail using the provisions of free matter for the blind. And the whole community kind of got behind this effort, and pretty soon he had lots of volunteers brailing lessons and mailing them about the country. And what began with one student 86 years ago, we now have over 10,000 students in over 110 countries in all 50 states, and we provide about 15,000 courses a year to these 10,000 15,000 courses a year to over 10,000 students, and we've become the largest school for the blind in the world, and we're the largest educator in Braille, because a third, to this day, a third of those students, even though we have in excess of 100 courses in our catalog that are all free to visually impaired and blind people, their siblings, parents, and professionals, that includes volunteers, professionals in work with the blind. To this day, a third of those 10,000 students are enrolled in one of our mini Braille courses.
One of the things that amazes me is the fact that Hadley has, as long as I've known it, been open to people all over the world. And that's very different from many other programs. Was that one of the kind of philosophical decisions that was made pretty early on in Hadley's history, if you know?
Good question, Paul. There's a lot of speculation about that, but I have not found anything that would indicate that William Hadley realized at first that the school was going to be such a huge success, or did he realize it was going to be so popular internationally. I think that perhaps evolved, and I'm sure by the time of his passing he realized that this was going to be an international success, but I don't know if that was in the grand plan, at least initially. But we are very popular in the world for English speakers. We don't offer classes in other languages other than conversational Spanish and French for English speakers. But we are certainly popular with those people who want to learn English or want to study in English. And we have a school in China, Hadley China, which has over 1,200 students that are not counted in that 10,000. And all 1,200 students in Hadley China study in English.
It maybe isn't a connection that's really well recognized by folks in the United States, but I lived for half of my life, at one point anyway, in the Third World. And there were all kinds of people all over the Caribbean who were taking Hadley courses and who regarded it as probably far more important, I think, than we might think in this country, because it was a place where you could actually take courses for free in countries where often there was no educational infrastructure for people who are blind. And so it was a way of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps at really no cost, as long as you could make the connection with the Hadley School. And so I would begin by saying to Chuck and those at Hadley, on behalf of the Third World, there are an immense number of people who owe you a huge debt of gratitude in terms of making education possible for them. Let me go on to ask you a little bit about the kinds of courses that Hadley traditionally offered. We're not going to quite get to where we're going at the moment, but traditionally you had kind of individuals who worked as like the tutors or the instructors for folks, and a lot of your coursework was in Braille initially. Is that right, Chuck?
That's correct. We started out by teaching Braille, and then at some point we evolved into a full-fledged high school, and we are a high school recognized by the state of Illinois, and we have people from all over the United States that take our courses with high school credit and graduate from high school, and again, these courses are all provided free. And perhaps what separates some from other distance learning institutions is all of our courses come with an instructor who's available by internet, fax, an 800 phone number to help the student have a successful experience with the course. So not only do you get a free course from Hadley, but you get access to a qualified instructor who's there to make you as successful as you can possibly be in the course.
Hadley also, I think, distinguished itself throughout its history by actually looking to hire both blind folks and some deafblind folks to handle some of its courses. And I would guess that even now you're a fairly large employer of people who are blind if you include the part-time kind of instructor types, are you not?
That's correct. And we just last week had a birthday party here at Hadley. We recognized one of our instructors, our poetry instructor and deaf-blind teacher, Jerry Lawhorn, who turned 90 years of age. She actually turns, well, we're closed for the holidays. Her birthday's on December 31st, so we had an early birthday party for her. But she was an instructor with us and was the first African-American female who was deafblind, to graduate from college, in part with the support of Hadley. But her and probably a third of our instructors, at least a third, are blind themselves.
That's actually pretty amazing. And how many folks do you actually employ, if you count instructors?
The entire staff of Hadley amounts to about 75 people, of which, oh, I would say close to 40 of them come into the headquarters here in Winnetka. And many of those folks are in administrative, financial, communication development type positions, or they're in our production department developing Braille recording courses. And then we have quite a few curriculum developers on the second floor here that write the courses. And then our instructors, for the most part, don't come into the building here very often. There's about 35 teachers, qualified teachers, spread throughout the United States. We might, for example, have three in California and one in Florida and two in Arizona. I think we have like seven or eight in Wisconsin that work out of their homes. And those 35 instructors only come into Hadley Central once every 2 years. We have a staff meeting along with our award ceremony for outstanding students and that. So I just met many of our instructors for the first time. We're here in mid-October for our every second year annual staff meeting. So our teachers are spread throughout the country and work with the students, again, by mail, by internet, by 800 telephone number, and by fax.
A couple of hard questions. Some people say that if something's available for nothing, that's what you get back. Do you have a lot of students who actually start courses that they don't finish, or is your success rate, your course completion rate, actually pretty high?
Good question. You know, we do have some people who start the courses and don't finish them. Particularly, we find that true with some people struggle with Braille, at least initially, and sometimes they have to come back a second time before they finish the course. I was recently at a meeting of the state agency directors for the blind in Baltimore, and I was asking informally how many of them had been Hadley students, and several of them admitted to me that when they were newly blinded, they attempted to take a Braille course from us and weren't successful, but came back later on and took the course. And we've also experienced some professionals signing up for our course to get the materials, and then they use that as teaching guides and don't bother to finish the course with us, and kind of looks bad on our records, looks like a person that's failed to finish, when in fact we suspect that they've signed up the course to get the materials, which they turn around and use in a classroom. So we think some good obviously comes from that, but we would like to see as many people as we could possibly get finish the course. And our instructors do a really good job of contacting the students and ask them, you haven't turned in an assignment. Is there anything we can do to help you finish the course? And we're able to salvage a lot of people who might drop out otherwise complete the course.
Mm-hmm. I need to fess up and say that a very long time ago now, probably 30 or 35 years ago, I enrolled in an amateur radio course, and I didn't finish. I'm sorry. But the course was extremely good, and it was certainly no fault of Hadley's that I didn't finish. And I suspect there are others who are like me. My experience in talking with folks in the third world is that they do a much better job overall of completing Hadley courses, and that's often because for them they're more important. There are more options sometimes for us in the developed world. In the third world, there aren't nearly as many options, and people, I think, value coursework a little bit better. Let's talk a little bit about some of the changes. Obviously, the internet and websites and that sort of thing, as well as some of the other technology, such as the stuff we're using tonight, offer some real options, at least potentially, for providing distance learning. Is Hadley beginning to utilize computers, and if you are, how are you?
That's an excellent question, but I first want to comment about the students we have from the third world. We found that they take our courses very seriously, as you said, and some of them, it's really a badge of honor that they never receive a grade below an A+, and so they are really some non-plus if they get an A or a B on an assignment, and they're right there working with their instructor, how can I improve this grade, because they value value education so highly, so they're a real joy to work with. And you know you arrive when you receive letters from the third world merely addressed Hadley School, and they show up here in Winnetka. So we've got quite the reputation with the third world and also the post office. You know, we have a really good regard for our foreign students.
You know, every third world country I've been in, there are people who I've talked to who have taken Hadley courses. I can't think of a single country that I've been in where that's not the case. And the fact that you currently have students from 110 countries is a pretty clear indication of that. I think it's something that the United States can and ought to be justly proud of. It's probably one of the coolest services we in the United States provide for people outside of the United States. Let's talk about the way things are changing at Hadley.
I'd be pleased to mention to you, and you asked earlier about internet and the use of that for Hadley. We ventured into what we call e-Hadley about a little over 2 years ago, and we did some experimenting with offering courses, Blindness Basics, our internet course, and now we have Internet Beyond the Basics. And it's just been a wonderful experience for us. The staff absolutely love some of the toys, if you will, or ways that you can make learning fun through internet gimmickry and way you can present materials and how it can be interactive with a student, gets their, can take a quiz and get immediate gratification with responses immediately as fast as they type in their answers. They get response back how they did on the quiz or what have you. So it's been a real positive experience, and we currently have, I believe, a little over 10 of our 110 courses on the internet accessible, and it's going to be the wave of the future. We did some polling of our students, and we asked them, what was their favorite mode of taking a course, internet, braille, large print, recorded format, and internet courses was rating number one or number two with almost a third of our students. And we feel that at least half of our students have access to email, and again, one-third of the 10,000 students rate taking a course over the internet as their first or second choice. So we think offering courses over the internet has a big future with Hadley, but at the same time, we know that all the other formats, and especially Braille, will always be extremely important and something that we don't ever envision not offering courses in Braille and print and in some form of recorded format. In fact, the biggest problem area we have right now is what kind of recorded format will Hadley use in the future, because people are going to the DAISY format, yet that's true in this country, but it's not always true in foreign countries. And for Hadley to be as responsive to students around the world, we're looking at what kind of recorded format will reach the most students. And so that's really become our kind of our problem for format right now, where the internet has been extremely well received.
One of the questions, I suppose, about the internet is, does that tend to make it more difficult for folks in the third world where income levels are lower and sometimes internet prices are significantly higher, as of course our computer prices and access technology prices? Have you actually found any data yet on how internet courses are being received outside of the United States?
Have any definite statistics that I could cite right now? I do know that we have a surprising number of internet students around the world. It's kind of like extremes. Either people, like the poverty around the world, there's some countries where they have extremely rich people and they have extremely poor people. We have people in lots of different foreign countries have internet access, and then we have other people who don't even have telephone access, 9 months out of the year. So it's kind of a hit and miss proposition, but we certainly have internet users outside the United States. And again, we will need to always, I think, have Braille and the other formats available because many of our students just prefer Braille over any other format, even though they are internet savvy.
In terms of internet coursework, maybe you could describe a little bit more how a typical internet course would run. So that people can get a flavor for what they might expect were they to decide to enroll in an internet-based course.
Well, I'm not the greatest internet user, but I'll try to describe what I know of it. First of all, everything we put on the internet is accessible in that anything that we put on the screen, we do like little vignettes and video-like productions. For instance, we have a course called Blindness Basics, where we have we talk about the different eye conditions, diabetes, cataracts, glaucoma, and then we have this photograph of this family, and then the student can press a button. And the photograph will morph into what the person might look like, what the photo might look like if you had cataracts or if you had glaucoma. And then we have, on another part of that webpage, we have a running description of everything that was described and seen there. This course was actually developed for sighted professionals, entry-level professionals. It's a blindness basic course for receptionists and dorm aides and bus drivers at schools for the blind, somebody new to the profession. But in deference to our blind and deafblind students, we have a full description of everything that goes on in that course. So there's I'm trying to think of the word for it, where we have a written transcript that's accessible to a deafblind student, for instance, of everything that's listed in that course. Again, the beauty of the internet courses is the immediate gratification, because all of our quizzes, tests are put on there. The student gets immediate feedback as to if they didn't choose the best answer. They get feedback as why another answer might be a superior answer, and get instant gratification, if you will. Some graphic stuff on there that we have to describe for people who can't see, but it's a very creative way to use the internet.
One of the things that I think distinguishes Hadley from sometimes other entities, and even, you know, I think in terms of comparatively with consumer organizations of blind folks, is the degree to which you pretty early on decided that you were going to make your coursework available to people who were deafblind, and that you were going to create options for people who are deafblind. So I guess my question is, has that paid off? Are you actually continuing to serve quite a large number of deafblind folks still?
Proportionally, the deafblind student body is a very small percentage of our student body, but in proportion to the incidence of deafblindness, it's a large group of people who are deafblind take our courses, but it's still in the big numbers scheme. It's a very small portion of the 10,000 students. But Hadley has always felt it wants to have all of its courses accessible, and we take great pride that we have so many deafblind students who are able to benefit from our courses, whether it be for recreation, leisure course, or a course related to business, or course to graduate from the high school. At our recent high school graduation, we had a young lady from St. Louis who graduated from our high school, and she did that because she was just so frustrated trying to get accessible courses available at the public school that she dropped out of high school and became homeschooled, something we didn't encourage, obviously, but her and her parents were very pleased to have Hadley as a resource for her to graduate from high school, and she just raved about how all of her courses were accessible to her. And at our awards ceremony, we had a 70-something-year-old deafblind woman who had been deaf all of her life, and because of Usher syndrome was losing her vision. She was taking classes from us and talking about how much she enjoyed having accessible courses and recreation and leisure type things, because she was in her 70s and wasn't taking the courses for vocational interest, but rather for just personal enjoyment and recreation.
Now, I know Hadley does have a website, but in case folks are interested in going to browse your website, maybe you could tell us what your web address is, and then maybe tell us a little bit about what students can expect to find on your webpage.
Our website is www.hadley.edu, edu because we're a school, www.hadley.edu. And if you go on our website, you can see what's in the news at Hadley, and You can see the an ABC coverage of this 90th birthday of Jerry Lawhorn, our deaf blind instructor. Some months back, we were on the NBC Today show. We had the local second grade class here has two visually impaired, or actually blind students, and the students, when asked what they wanted to do for the school year with their discretionary time, the kids voted they wanted to spend all their free time learning Braille so they could write notes to their fellow Braille blind students. And so we work with the school to teach these kids Braille in the second grade, and NBC thought that was so interesting. They did a story on the Today show, and that's on our website. So if you go in the news, you'll see such things as that. Perhaps more important to your students is to your customer base is our catalog. Our entire catalog is on there, and all of our courses, including a description of each course, and many of the courses also have a sample lesson that you can take so you can have an experience of what the course is going to be like before you even sign up. And then, of course, there's gives you instructions on how to become eligible to be a Hadley student on our website.
Now, we've talked about courses that are available for graduating from high school. We've talked about Braille courses, and we've talked about some Internet Basics courses. We've talked about Blindness Basics. Perhaps you could give us a flavor of what other sorts of courses are available through Hadley.
My pleasure. I just, we have we have art history and art of ancient Egypt and a lot of history-related courses. We have basic English courses, everything from punctuation to spelling to elementary poetry. We have a lot of math courses, including Abacus 1 and 2. We have science courses, health courses. I think I mentioned history courses. We have college preparation courses to get you ready to go to school. We have some like 14 different Braille courses, typing courses, technology courses, using Excel spreadsheet is our newest course. We're getting a lot of interest in that. We have courses to help you in your business and career, such as business law, small business management, business writing, independent living courses, courses on the human eye, personal psychology, self-esteem, adjusting to blindness. We have courses on all the different eye conditions that cause severe visual impairment, like macular degeneration and glaucoma. We have parenting courses for parents of blind children. And then we have recreational and leisure courses like the Old Testament of the Bible, birdsong, chess for beginners, an advanced chess course, container gardening, moving in the outdoors, a lot of real fun type recreational type courses, conversational Spanish and conversational French are very popular, safety in the home, what have you. I think we have something that would appeal to everybody.
That's pretty amazing. You've talked about being accredited through the state of Illinois as a high school. Has Hadley ever pursued or given any thought to pursuing some accreditation for courses at the post-secondary level?
Well, you must have read our strategic plan. We are accredited by an outfit called DET. It's Distance Education and Training Council in Washington, D.C., and they're a national accrediting body that all the anybody that wants to be taken seriously as a distance education provider in America should have that accreditation, and we've certainly had that since the beginning of time. We have currently a couple of courses that you can apply to get college credit for because they're courses that, for instance, our Adjustment to Blindness course is a course offered at the University of Northern Colorado with the same professor that we use. So if you want to take the course from us and then apply to University of Northern Colorado, you can get college credit for it. But one of the things that we're seriously contemplating in the future is the development of college credits for more of our courses. Our fastest growing audience is the professional audience, people who are teachers of the visually impaired and blind, people who want to be teachers of the visually impaired or blind, parents who who have raised a child who's blind, and the child has moved on and off on their own world now, and the parents say, you know, I've taken all these courses in Braille, and I've had all these life experiences. How could I turn this into a teaching degree and get a job as a teacher for the blind? So in response to this audience we have of the 10,000 students, we have 2,800 of those people are in our professional category. They're working in some capacity, either volunteer or paid, but the vast majority of them are in a paid capacity working with visually impaired and blind students. And they want more courses from Hadley, they want more complex courses from Hadley, and they want college credit. So we're trying to work with a couple of existing universities and colleges to see if we might be able to get some of our courses blessed with college credit through these institutions, and more work with them to lead to a degree, particularly as a paraprofessional in the classroom, teacher's assistant, paraprofessional, teacher's aide, whatever title you want to use for it. But we have a lot of interest in that as a vocation, and with the new IDA legislation requiring an associate degree, we're trying to respond to that by working with universities, colleges, what have you, to help facilitate people who are students getting at least an associate degree if we can.
One of the issues for blind folks in the field of vocational rehabilitation has always been the difficulty of finding accessible courses that can be used for getting the CRC credits that are necessary to continue certification as a VR counselor or as a professional in the field of blindness. Has Hadley given any thought to getting into this arena and making some coursework available for blind people who are professionals in the field?
We have. We can get continuing education for credits for our professionals working in the field, either in education or in adult rehabilitation. They can get CEU credit for our courses. And the accrediting body, I'm trying to think of, it's a long list of initials down Tucson, Arizona, for vision teachers, also works very closely with us to get professionals the credit they deserve for the continued education that they've taken through very relevant, perhaps more relevant than what they can get at their local college, very relevant courses that really make them better VR professionals and better teachers. And work with visually impairment blind, they can get those CEUs and that credit through Hadley currently.
I'm not sure that a lot of our vocational rehab folks are aware of that. Maybe it's another area where you could do some more selling, because I know I've had some people ask, and I hadn't thought of referring them to Hadley and should have. I think I'm going to open it up and see who may have some questions or comments that they'd like to raise at this point with Chuck Young, our guest this evening, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the Hadley School. And so let me open it up and see who has a question or a comment.
Yeah, Chuck, this is Dr. Ron Melloman. I just wonder how does one become an instructor or associated with Hadley if one's interested in doing that?
Great question. We tend to like to hire very experienced, mature teachers. Because our teachers tend to work out of their home, we find that Hadley works best if we have a teacher who has actually taught in an education setting for several years, or an adult rehab setting. They've had the experience of having coworkers and colleagues help them become better teachers. They've had the benefit of supervision in a teaching capacity, and are now more or less seasoned enough and experienced enough that they can work out of the home and be self-disciplined and not need constant feedback by colleagues and direct student interchange. And so we tend to hire very experienced, seasoned teachers. And oftentimes, it's kind of like being in the right place at the right time. Because we are a certified high school, and also we want qualified people for other courses, it's like you have to present yourself with the right credentials at the right time. If it's a high school course that we have an opening for. The teacher has to be certified and meet the certification standards for the state of Illinois for high school. Where if it's, for instance, a Braille course that's not part of the high school curriculum, we might be able to hire somebody who's not certified as a high school instructor but is very qualified to teach Braille. So it's kind of a situation of letting Hadley know of your availability and what subject matters, and also if you have any certifications that would meet minimum certification standards if we're teaching a course that requires that.
Hello, Chuck. My name is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I took some Hadley courses back in 68 and 69. They were business English and letter writing. I really enjoyed them. It was quite a good way to learn. You know, you can do that at your leisure or whatever your time permits. Somebody suggested taking a couple of courses from Hadley, and that's what I did.
See, you know, the one thing I would love to see us be able to do is really beef up our vocational and business type courses. I look back through old Hadley catalogs, and we were in the medical transcribing business years ago, and one of our outstanding graduates at this last teacher meeting was a lady from Washington State who's been a missionary in Africa for years and years, and she said that because she had this medical transcription training, she was the most qualified to head up the clinic in Africa, and so she actually manages a medical clinic in Africa based on her medical transcribing background. But delightful lady. But, you know, we're helping in China because we teach English to Chinese people, and English is the official business language of China. We're opening up new opportunities. Currently, they have two vocational outcomes if you live in China. You can be a massage therapist, or if you're really good, you can be a medical massage therapist, which is sort of like a chiropractor. It's a higher class, and it pays more. But those are the only two vocational outcomes that are available to blind people in China. And our 1,200 students are finding that they're getting jobs now as interpreters, and they're translating documents for businesses. And many of these students were the massage therapists who wanted to learn English so they could increase their the number of tourists that they can sell massages through, working with business people coming through Shanghai or wherever. So, but these language courses in English language course we're offering China is opening up new vocational opportunities. We have one of our outstanding graduates over there created her own business of exporting furniture, and she uses her ability to speak English to sell antique furniture in the United States through her exporting business. But you mentioned our business writing course. We're currently rewriting our business communications course. We've just put Excel spreadsheet online. We'd really like to be able to offer more courses that would have a meaningful impact in enabling our students to acquire greater vocational opportunities.
Chuck, this is Doug from Daytona Beach, Florida. I have two questions. One, I'm currently taking an independent living course and going to be taking some more independent living courses. I noticed that in the information discussed that Hadley is doing some things with online courses, and I'm curious if you speak about that. Second one is something you brought up. Has Hadley given thought to offering massage therapy courses? There are a lot of courses that are available online in terms of massage for CEUs, but a lot of them are not very usable for blind people that want to take the courses.
Good questions. Let me start off with the massage therapy courses. I have not considered that, nor had I heard it suggested before, but it's an interesting suggestion that you make, especially when we have so many students in China who are professional massage therapists. So let me add that we meet in March to discuss the curriculum for the following year and prioritize what courses we'll offer. But that's a brilliant suggestion, and I want to take it to our curriculum development committee and see if that would be something that we'd get enough interest from the students to warrant the time and expense to develop the course. On the internet issue, we have an internet basics course that I will refer you to that already exists, and then there's a kind of a a little exercise that they ask you to do before they sign you up for that course. And from that exercise, if you've already got the basics down, then they might suggest that you take the advanced course, which is Internet Beyond the Basics. But those are two courses that we have, Internet and Internet Beyond the Basics, that you might find interesting and I think even give you more ideas of how the other Internet accessible courses that we're offering, such as Excel Spreadsheet, how you might access that course as well. One of the things we do at Hadley is try not to replicate or duplicate what is elsewise available. The Carroll Center offers quite a few courses on the use of the Internet and technology. And so sometimes if you see we're not advancing in a certain area, it might be because we think there's another source of that training already out there, and we want to put our resources in something that perhaps nobody else is offering. So there are a few other entities that are offering some very good Internet-related courses.
Chuck, this is from Daytona Beach again. I want to clarify my original question. I think I kind of took you the wrong direction. I'm curious to know more about your online courses that you offer versus the courses that are in Braille or on cassette.
We have probably 10 of the courses that we currently offer are available in the format of online. I think we only have one or two courses that are online only, but we try to have every course available in all the accessible formats. We actually simulate a Braille writer with use the keys from the keyboard to simulate a Braille writer to learn Braille in an online course. So using the keys of the keyboard as if they were the keys of the Braille writer to do your Braille assignments in the online course. I don't know if that's answering your question, but if you could be a little more specific, I'd welcome your question.
Okay, you kind of covered a little bit. What I'm curious about is that it seems like more and more courses are being offered online. I just finished a course from regarding Independent Living Council, which was completely online. And I guess more and more courses are being offered that way. So I was just curious if Hadley was getting into that, and I think you've answered that question.
Thank you. Yeah, we're definitely offering online courses, but we also have a commitment that we feel very strongly that we'll never give up offering our courses where they're better suited for Braille or large print or recorded format, because we just have too many students and always will have who prefer the courses in the other formats or don't have access to the Internet. And so I just don't see the world changing in the next at least 30 or 40 years where we would ever have get away from that. And again, so many of our students are Braille students who are taking our Braille courses and prefer Braille, and that's why they come to Hadley is for the courses in Braille.
A lot of your courses were available in hard copy Braille, but with the advent of things like note takers, like Braille Lights and Packmates and Braille Notes and Braille Senses, are you actually making the Braille files that you use as texts that are traditionally hard copy available for download if people would actually prefer to receive their Braille materials as downloadable files?
That's a good question, and I'm not quite sure, but it seems to me that would make sense, especially if we have the courses are also on the Internet, that you would think all that work would have been done. But I would have to get back to you on the actual answer to that.
I was thinking, even of the non-Internet courses, I know that if I were to take a course with Hadley now, I'd certainly want to be able to put my hands on the materials, and I'd probably want to see those materials in an accessible, downloadable version where I could actually do work, for instance, going back and forth to work using Braille devices like a Braille Light or a Packmate or something like that. And I guess my thought is, if you're not doing that at the moment, it might be something to consider, because it would probably be a relatively easy thing to do, since I would guess that most of the Braille materials that you now produce begin life as electronic files anyway.
You make a very, very good point and a very compelling point there. And I guess the thing that I'm personally involved with here at Hadley that is the most closely related to that is I'm sure you're probably, and many of your readers are familiar with Bookshare. And it's an organization of out of California of people who join literally a club to share books that they have scanned. And currently they have some 28,000 titles that have been scanned, books that have been proofed and scanned and are available, downloadable, as you say, onto a PacMate or a portable Braille device, or you can take them down in speech, download them in speech. And I'll be meeting later on this month with Jim Fruchterman, who is the inventor, if you will, or the creator of Bookshare, to talk about a collaboration with Hadley and, you know, more or less have Bookshare be the library for Hadley and Hadley be the school for the Bookshare participants. It won't be a merger agreement or anything like that. It'll be just rather a collaboration, a cooperation, because we see the potential for these downloadable books, if you will, as like for our English courses, we could have novels that you're assigned to read, or you have to pick between X number of novels, and we could encourage our students to go on to Bookshare and get the downloadable version of those books, and then they can listen to the book, or they can read the book in Braille as they're commuting to work on a portable Braille device. So we're experimenting with that and a couple other collaborations with the Dog Guide Schools and the National Industries for the Blind for vocational purposes. But I do know that we're working real close with Bookshare on downloadable material.
Oh, that's excellent. I am a huge Bookshare fan. I think I still represent the largest single contributor to Bookshare. When they started up, I sent them something over 3,000 books. So scanning is certainly something I've done some of. I guess I would like to ask one other question, and that is to ask you what other things are a part of your latest strategic plan. You talked about the potential of moving into post-secondary college credit courses. What other things are on the Hadley horizon?
Well, I just probably divulge one of the biggest ones is working close with organization like Bookshare to have a virtual library available to our students at a very affordable rate. When I talked to my trustees, I said I pay $117 a year to have the Chicago Tribune thrown in the bushes out in front of my house. And for $75 initiation fee and a $50 annual fee, you can download 28,000 books from Bookshare and receive one of 150 periodicals, such as the Chicago Tribune. So I said, for once, seems to me that the visually impaired and blind population has a system that's superior to the sighted library, and that is the Bookshare concept, including their periodicals that they download, the newspapers you can download. Again, there's like 150 newspapers that participate in that program. So that's one of the exciting things that we see in the future. We've talked about the college credit idea and having a closer relationship with the colleges. I think this is the decade of collaboration, and we're working with the National Industries for the Blind. They've had considerable success with sending the best and the brightest of their visually impaired and blind workforce to the Darden School of Business and picking certain individuals out to do executive internships. And the next iteration of that idea is perhaps NIB and Hadley will work together to develop a package of business courses that they want their workers to take through Hadley and take at their own pace, so that hopefully their workforce, some 6,000 blind workers around the country, will be better qualified to assume advancement in the future. Also, we just signed a contract with the 7 U.S. Dog Guide Schools to develop a course I call All Things Dog Guide. And it's going to be a course talking about the whole dog guide experience, from what it's like to own a dog, to what it's like to use one, to care for one, what the expectations of a dog guide user are. So we're really excited about that new course. We just rolled out a course on macular degeneration. The Internet's going to play a big part of our future. But I think these collaborations, as I mentioned, with Bookshare, National Industries Blind, the 7 U.S. Dog Guide School, I want to work closer with the adult state vocational rehabilitation agency, because there's a big correlation between education and employment. And also there's a big correlation, from what I've been able to determine, between being a Braille user and be successfully employed. Even talked about perhaps offering a series of courses in the hospitality industry and food service management, in case the Randolph Shepherd vendors around the country wanted to advance in their careers through taking Hadley courses. So I think we're going to be able to do some exciting things in the future which deal with collaborations with other entities. Perhaps the last one I'll mention is we had an experiment here with what we call our ambassadors program. Canada is so huge geographically, and they have one national agency, and we work with them to train somebody from their staff in each of the 6 different regions of Canada to be kind of knowledgeable about Hadley and where Hadley course might help one of their staff members be a better deal with an issue like Braille or what have you, and or one of their consumers, where a Hadley course might help that consumer in business or leisure or what have you. That program was so successful, we doubled the number of students enrolled in Hadley in Canada in just under 2 years by having six staff there trained and embedded within their agency. We've just opened that up to the United States, and next Thursday we're going to have representatives of 7 or 8 state rehabilitation agencies from around the country send a staff person here for 2 days to be trained in all things Hadley and go back and be able to be like the resident expert on staff of where a Hadley course might help a staff member be a better service to their clientele, or help one of the clients or consumers of that state be more employable, if you will. So we've got some big expectations for the Hadley Ambassadors Program being available here in the United States.
Chuck, can you tell us a little bit about the instructors at Hadley, the whole methodology for selecting them and keeping them properly connected with Hadley? Because I take it the vast majority of them certainly aren't sitting in Hadley offices doing what they do. I think they mostly work out of their homes, if I understand things correctly.
We are very proud of our teachers. We have like 35 teachers, and only 2 of them come into the office on a daily basis here in Winnetka, and the rest of them all work out of their homes. As an example, we have 3 in California. We have like 1 in Florida, a couple in Arizona. We have 7 or 8 in Wisconsin, a couple in Minnesota. We have probably 7 or 8 here in Illinois that don't come into Winnetka office. It's too far away, too much of a commute. But they do tell me that they would like to get together more often than once every 2 years in person. But you can imagine how expensive that is. And they do get together we have at least a telephone conference call with some of them, on different subject matters, at least monthly. I do a webcast virtual staff meeting with everybody about once every month and a half, 2 months, and the dean of the school, who supervises the teachers, meets with all of them by phone, I would say at least on a once a month basis, where they have at least telephone interaction with each other. They're a good bunch of qualified, competent professionals who are very dedicated. And might surprise you, on average, they'll have 300 students on average each. So, they really work pretty hard.
Chuck Sinisio from Atlanta. I just want to reiterate what actually something that you yourself said, how Hadley has, despite all the new courses and new technologies you've come, stay true to your in beginnings in terms of the commitment to Braille, I can't tell you how many people I've seen that have gone through organizations where I've worked where they learned grade one or the uncontracted Braille first, and then those that were interested in continuing to grade two, how many of them did so through the Hadley School. And I think that's something to be commended for, your commitment to Braille, because I agree with you. I mean, the statistics are so clear about correlating success with proficiency in Braille.
Chuck, this is Daytona Beach again. I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, but that was regarding the taking of courses. Have you thought about offering courses for people that may be working on or getting more knowledge for their certified rehabilitation counselor status?
We would very much welcome the opportunity to work with people, to professionals, to advance in their careers. That's why we're motivated to talk to these universities and see if we can't get more. What the certifying body for the vision teachers has said, and same with the rehab teachers, rehab counselors, is this student body wants more courses, they want more complex courses, and they want to get appropriate credit for their efforts, continuing education credits, anything that they can do to advance in their career. So anything we at Hadley can do to support these professionals to further themselves both professionally and be more competent in the relevant things that are important to blind people, such as competency in Braille, anything we can do in that regard, and working with the certification bodies, we invite you to give us input. I just recently got the certification body out of Tucson, and I can't repeat all those initials. They surveyed with their newsletter. I sent them, I said, tell us what courses would you like to see Hadley offer, and they surveyed through their newsletter and sent me back a very comprehensive report of what their professionals told them. But we love this population. They've been great students for Hadley, and we want to be able to help them with relevant education as best we can.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and Chuck, I think it is time for us to wind down another program of Tuesday Topics. I'd like to thank Chuck for providing us with all kinds of information about one of the precious resources in the United States, and one of those resources that I think perhaps we undervalue. I think there are many people both here and around the world who have benefited from being a part of Hadley, but I think there are many others who have the potential to be able to benefit, who perhaps through this program on ACB Radio we'll get the opportunity to recognize just what a broadly based and immensely valuable service the Hadley School is. Chuck, thank you very much for being with us. We very much appreciate everybody being a part of tonight's program. And on behalf of my producer, Brian Charlson, and all of the others involved in making Tuesday Topics happen, I'd like to thank all of you for being here. Next week on Tuesday Topics, we'll have the opportunity to talk with Mike May, one of those individuals who has been around the blindness field for many years, but unlike most blind people, has had the experience of getting substantial amounts of vision back. How did he adjust to learning to see again? What changed in his life? What didn't? What does he do the blind way, and what does he do the sighted way? These are just some of the questions we'll be able to pose to Mike May, our guest next week on Tuesday Topics on ACB Radio, the voice of the blind community.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. The first time you enter the chat room, the software will automatically download and install on your computer. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends list early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.